الله. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. Several months ago I mentioned about the five branches of Islam, five branches of our religion. So I just want to reiterate and reinforce that as a beginning, and I'll break it down further inshallah, that Islam is a whole way of life. Islam, our religion in its entirety, is an entire way of life. Now they have five broad categories, five broad branches. The first one, aqaid. I'll break these down anyway, but I'm just going to mention them first. عقائد, عبادات, معاملات, معاشرات, and أخلاق. Some ulama mentioned different categories, but generally these five. So number one, عقائد, beliefs. What do we believe in as believers? These are an essential branch of the faith without which a person wouldn't be a believer. آمنتُ بالله وملائكة, believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels, all of Allah's sifat, the anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, these are all beliefs. So number one, the first branch, aqeedah, about aqaid, our beliefs. Another branch is ibadat, salah, our zakah, our sawm, hajj, charity, etc. They're all ibadat, they're all worships. So second branch. So the first one, aqeedah, beliefs. Second one, ibadat, worship. Third branch, mu'amalat, transactions. Now, transactions are not limited to just monetary transactions, but generally it is that mu'amalat is in reference to monetary transactions. For example, somebody, you don't have to be a businessman, even a person who's buying and selling. What are the laws to buying and selling? Meaning, what am I allowed to buy? What am I allowed to sell? What are the rulings if there's a lie in a transaction? For example, you know, you go to many places and you buy something from them and he says to you, you know, I bought it myself for 500 rupees or something. They say that I bought it for 500, for let's say 10 pound. But he ends up selling it to you for about 8 pound. Now, which businessman does that? Nobody sells it to you less than what they bought it for, a businessman. Meaning, what happens now in that transaction where a price is referenced, the original price is referenced, but it was a lie. There are laws about all of this. And these are all in buyu' mu'amalat. The person will be taken to account for this because this person has lied in a transaction and he has taken somebody else's right because of certain rules that are in certain transactions. Number four, so that number one was aqidah, beliefs, aqaid. Number two, ibadat, our worship. Number three, our mu'amalat, our dealings. So I mentioned number three, mu'amala. And this goes far beyond. It's not just limited to that, waqf, etc. Much more. Number four, mu'asharat, our social dealings. How do we interact with others? You know, being a guest, etc. All these are part of mu'asharat, living life in society. And number five, akhlaq. Fifth branch, akhlaq. So the difference between mu'asharat and akhlaq is mu'asharat tends to be, that some have described it as mu'asharat is what is external. So how are you dealing with people? And akhlaq is something more internal. Akhlaq is internal, your inner state of affairs. And mu'asharat are your external affairs. How are you interacting? Now I want to highlight on number four, a mu'asharat, social dealing, which is a branch. Now, marriage is one thing which relates to a bit of mu'asharat and mu'amalat. Meaning, marriage is still a transaction. It's still a transaction. Without a doubt, if you look into the book, they'll explain it is a transaction taking place in the sense that of vows taking place, in the of codependency, etc. And one making a commitment to the other. So there is an element of mu'amala taking place over here. But it's also mu'ashara in the sense that there are social dealings, interactions within another individual. And this is something which has a very, very significant part of a person's life, when Rasulullah ﷺ is reported to have said, authenticity has been disputed slightly, that is considered half of faith, so fear Allah in the other half. Meaning the certain qualities you will develop with another individual will only be able to be developed when you're with such an individual. because that person's with you. You're literally what almost you're in pretty much your life, and you're what a person could be somebody outside, but within the home, it's hard to be a different individual. So for you to exhibit certain qualities that you have, praiseworthy qualities, it requires an element of sabr, of patience. It requires certain qualities and consistency which a person with true taqwa will be able to exhibit. Or else a person could be somebody outside and a person outside the home and somebody else inside the home. And Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودُ الْوَلُودُ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمُ, that marry those that are loving, marry those which are fertile. Number one, loving, that's like another marriage webinar. But second part of al-walud, those that are fertile. Now that doesn't mean infertile women shouldn't be married. That's not what it's saying. It's encouraging marrying fertile women so that you can have children. Meaning the purpose of marriage is to have children. Rasulullah then explained the rationale at the end of that. فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمُ, that I want to boast with my ummah of large numbers on qiyamah. Now that's not to say that a childless marriage, people that can't conceive, are incomplete, because that's their situation. That's their trial Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. Now that's not what I'm trying to say, but by default, the purpose is to have children. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning this about having children and rational at the end of it, in another hadith, he mentions that مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Before this, let me explain the relationship between the previous hadith about fertility and having children. And Rasulullah ﷺ mentions about the rationale being that being a large ummah on qiyamah, being a large ummah, our numbers being large, and there is this desire to have children. There is that desire. But alongside that, there's also spiritual benefits behind it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in place. So not just a matter of the innate desire, something innate within us that we want, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that it can become something spiritual. But by default, these beings are pure. That's what the hadith is saying. مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُلُودَ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. No child is born except they are in the state of fitrah. Fitrah is a natural disposition, meaning they have no inclination towards evil. The child is born, it is pure. Child is pure. In fact, there are studies, one from Oxford, one Oliver Petrovich, one researcher, and in her studies she mentions that children are more likely, to attribute belief to a higher power naturally. Without being taught, it's an untaught thing that naturally within them, they have the inclination to attribute things to a higher power, meaning a creator, naturally. This is she's from Oxford in child psychology. In certain parts, she talks about this. Now, this aligns with certain parts. Again, we're not using her argument to justify our thing. We know this. What Rasulullah has mentioned, however, it supports where Rasulullah mentions that مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُلِدَ الْفِطْرَةَ. No child is born except on the state of fitrah, a natural disposition, an inclination towards good, and a disinclination and a turn away from falsehood. Then Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصْرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Then the child's parents either make him a Christian, Jew, or a Magian, a different religion at the time. Now, I want you to focus on this part. The child is born in a state of fitrah, natural, pure. However, the religion, Rasulullah ﷺ is attributing it to the parents. Meaning, when that child is born, for the first few years of that child is completely dependent. It can't go anywhere. Whatever you put in that situation, whatever situation that you decide, is what's going to impact that child. Therefore, the religion is attributed to the parents. The parents make it a Jew, a Christian, etc. So the religion of the child is being attributed to the parents. That's the environment and impact. You see, later, what can happen is a child has a mind of its own. And teenagers, how crazy they become anyway, they do their own thing. But early years, that child is completely obedient. That child is yours. And Rasulullah in this hadith attributes the religion of the child to the parent, meaning the parents will shape that child's religion. And as YouTube, I see, so one is the biological attribution, and we see the religious and the spiritual attribution to the parents also. And Rasulullah, and you look throughout the hadith, and you look throughout the different verses, you'll find many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention mal, awlad, and spouses. He'll mention wealth, he'll mention children, and he'll mention spouses. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ etc. That wealth, children, and spouses are a trial. That's not to say they are inherently evil. That could be used in a great way. For example, one hadith mentions نِعْمَ الْمَالُ الصَّالِحِ لِرَجُلِ الصَّالِحِ. That how good is good wealth for a good individual? Meaning, how do we establish institutions if you don't have money? Wealth can be something good if used correctly, if we fulfilled it right, or you could go the other way around. Same thing with children. Now, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Allah mentions that know that your wealth and your children are a trial, in the sense that you could either become successful or unsuccessful. Are those rights of that child being fulfilled? When it comes to that child, what are we doing? For example, Rasulullah ﷺ describes beautifully, and look at this. He brings, جَاءَ الْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنُ يَسْعَيَانِ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَضَمَّهُمَا إِلَيْهِ. Hassan and Hussein come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he embraces them. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for his grandchildren, embracing them. And he says, إِنَّ الْوَلَدَ مَبْخَلَ مَجْبَنَ. That a child is a means of becoming stingy, a source of becoming stingy, and a source of becoming cowardly. Now, a person doesn't have to be. But it's a cause of this. Now, again, I'm going to mention it in our context, our understanding. إِنَّ الْوَلَدَ مَبْخَلَ. A child is a means of becoming stingy. Sometimes people are... What prevents them from spending is, I need to worry about my child's education, his future, his university. You know, I need to ensure that I've got all these things in order. So the parent is reluctant from spending, meaning... whether that's zakah, whether that's his other people that he needs to spend on, there's a reluctance because of this child now. Rasulullah has explained, مَبْخَلَ. The child is a means of becoming stingy. Remember, the child could also be a means of making your akhirah. Next hadith will explain that. But the child is a means of becoming stingy, meaning that there's a healthy attachment and there's an unhealthy attachment. How do we demarcate? How do we create the boundaries? What's healthy and what's unhealthy? If this child now makes you do things that you shouldn't be doing, if it's now making you stingy, which you shouldn't be, if this child is making you miss your salah, which you shouldn't be doing, if it makes you go to certain places you shouldn't be going, spouses, wealth, and children included, but I'm just highlighting the talk is on children, then this is an unhealthy attachment. If it's making you commit, if it's making you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, Rasulullah mentions, majbana. Now in those times, how it would have been is them not going out. When the time to go in the path of Allah, and they were like, oh no, I've got young children, I can't go. That's a source of now becoming cowardly. That they're not willing to go anymore because of their children. Now in our time, in the sense that they're so attached, they can't leave that company. Or they don't want to displease. A sense of cowardice in there, that when it comes to giving preference to what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, they give preference to the feelings of the child. That's not to say that you don't fulfill the rights, you fulfill the rights. However, each أَعْطِ كُلَّذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ, give everyone their due rights at their due time. Now, acknowledging this, whilst we recognize that the child, wealth, spouses are all trials, life in general is a trial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it with, as I mentioned from the beginning, that Rasulullah encouraged marrying loving and fertile women. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in one narration, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ قَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَ. When a person passes away, all his actions cease, they stop, except for three actions. صَدَقَ جَارِيَةَ. For example, you've opened a well, people continue benefiting from. So even after your demise, you still continue receiving that reward, because people are continuing to benefit from there. Number two, أَوْ عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ. Knowledge which is benefited from. You've given somebody da'wah, a parent teaching his child something. The child continues to do those acts. He's passed away, but the child is still doing that. The child is teaching others. Now that individual is still reaping the rewards after his demise. But it's a never-ending cycle. Then number three, أَوْ وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُ لَهُ. Or pious children that make dua for an individual. Now your actions are over. Your sadaqah jariyah, your well that you had has dried out. That's ended. Your knowledge or your students have stopped, or for whatever reason. But now you have pious children that will continue making dua for you. Certain stories, again, I'm going to mention because they're from dreams and not necessarily a hadith. They are of individuals that wait to receive the du'as of their children after their demise. They wait and they are waiting and waiting for their child to make du'a. And in certain occasions, certain stories are mentioned that certain parents came to their children in their dreams to say, I'm waiting and waiting, everybody else is receiving theirs, why am I not receiving yours? But waiting for their children, these are dreams, etc., not necessarily evidence, but these are just points. Then one other narration mentions, Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, this is another narration, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَرْقَ دَرَجَةً, that a person will ascend stages in Jannah, in hereafter, he will ascend stages, he will be going up. Then يقول مَا هَذَا, he said, what is this? What's going on? These are not my account. I have not done this, authentic narration. And they will be said to him, بِاسْتِغْفَارِ وَلَدِكَ بَعْدَكَ لَكَ, because of your child seeking forgiveness for you after your demise, this is how much you are ascending your stages. Your child is your investment. Now, in this lifetime, that could mean an investment. It could go both ways, meaning you lose and you actually go hit rock bottom, wherein if you taught the wrong things and you've not fulfilled the right of that child will use that as an excuse against you in Qiyamah. However, you teach them the right characteristics, teach them the right things. After your demise, they send Isa alayhi thawab, they send a'mal towards you, make dua for you. That could be your salvation. That's your investment. If they go and teach others, you've imbued within them that akhlaq, those characteristics, that deen within them, that you make sure you are a service for everybody else, and you become that individual, your a'mal don't just stop by your child. Every other individual your child teaches, you have that investment running. Think of it as like a Ponzi scheme. You know, what is it? Some of those, what do they have? Those schemes that it goes you. What's it called? Ponzi schemes. What is that? Where they reel one in, that person reels somebody else in. Again, that's a bad example in the sense that that's something negative. But in the sense that for you, as an investment, you got somebody in. They get somebody else in. Your a'mal just continue. There's no loss in here. However, as great as these rewards are, and as thing ever Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, and it's beautiful. In Islam, it's all about accountability. أَلَا فَكُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٍ. Know that every one of you is a shepherd and will be questioned regarding his flock. Every one of us has rights and responsibilities. People love to quote their rights, but very few are willing to take on their responsibilities. Rasulullah mentions, الْإِمَامُ فَالْإِمَامُ رَاعٍ. The imam is a ra'in, he's a shepherd, and he'll be questioned. وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. A man will be questioned regarding his family. A woman will be questioned regarding the house, meaning in terms of everything in order. عَلَى بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا, upon the house, and there are certain things that she can't allow certain people to enter the house if the husband doesn't give permission, etc. But the point is, everybody has responsibilities. And acknowledging, my point of view here is about the children and their responsibilities. I want to mention just five things, and I'll gloss over them and finish over here. First and foremost, the right of the child is that they have an Islamic upbringing. Rasulullah ﷺ in the hadith mentions the parents make the child a Jew, a Christian, or any other faith. The parent. Why? The first few years, the child is completely dependent. You can't blame friends in that situation. You can't blame the child's friends in that situation. But I mentioned last time, the parents said, I did everything. Brothers are requested that, please, no recording. That I did everything, and I'm like, Nuh alayhi salam, I put my hands up. And we said, no, Nuh alayhi salam didn't put his hands up. The wave came in the way, and that then they then parted ways. He didn't give up. But the Rasulullah in the hadith attributes the religion of the child to the parents. So that's the parents' responsibility that they give the child an Islamic upbringing. Rasulullah, and I give you one example. مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ سَبْعِ سِنِينَ, that command your children to perform their salah whilst they're 7 years old. Now you might think, 7 years old, they're so young. These are habits. Psychologically, you are defined by four things. Your habits, all the things which you do. As I say, old habits die hard. You're defined by your habits. Number two, your environment, volition, vocation. What you are surrounded by, culture in general. If you're somebody who's in a different country and the culture is different, you're going to be a different individual to somebody over here. Your environment shapes you, it surrounds you. Environment is much more than just surrounding. It includes financially, were you wealthy, were you not, all these things. The environment is far more than that. Education is included. Social media, etc. It's all about environment. Number three, cognition, your mind. Your mind explains your behavior. What's impacting your beliefs, your values, all of these things. And number four, relationships. But again, the parent for a number of years can control this entire thing. Whether you want to expose or not, that's a different scenario, but a parent can control and limit and restrict certain aspects to make sure that I'm going to make sure my child exhibits the best qualities. They do something wrong, I am going to correct that. Number two, the parents are responsible for the religious education of the child. It's the right of the child and the responsibility of the parent that they are given the education they need to fulfill their basic fara'id and wajibat. If they do not receive that, the parent will be questioned for that on qiyamah. Number three, moral training of that child. I mentioned akhlaq, but moral training of that child, giving that child the framework to live a life. Number four, physical training. That again doesn't mean like martial arts, but in the sense that the right, إِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, that the body has a right, feeding the right foods. Doesn't mean you can let your child become obese, etc. The parent has a responsibility that the child remains healthy. إِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, your body has a right over you. So that's the parent's responsibility, because the child can't choose what's going to be cooked. That's the parent's responsibility, that what food is going to be presented, is it halal one? And two, is it the right foods for the child? If you're not eating something, that's different, but for your children, make sure you've got the right things. Number five, financial support, which is the fiqhi issue of accommodation, clothing, food, etc. A person can't be negligent, or again, he'll be questioned in regards to these. And I'm just going to end on this point, that these are all the rights, and I mentioned that the child is an investment. But as they're an investment, it could go either way. It could go and backfire. It can become something that, you know, you really regret for the rest of your life. Not just rest of your life, in the hereafter also. Or it could be something that you will just look at them and there will be qurratu ayni lak. There will be the coolness of your eyes. You look at them and you just become proud of your children. You go. There are that. Now, hidayah is not in our hands. We can't control the outcome. We can control the process. We can control the effort. We can do that. And that's our responsibility. For this, we also have, not with the madrasa or the masjid, the role isn't to take your position as parents. Your role is to make sure that you do all of that at home. However, formal education, there's a madrasa system in place. That's in place for a formal education system where we will be assisting you in their tarbiyah. We do not assume responsibility for their tarbiyah. That's as parents. But we will assist you in their tarbiyah through educating them. The madrasa runs Monday to Friday, 2 days a week. It's off for the summer holidays. But downstairs on the shoe rack on the right, and even downstairs on the left wall, if you're leaving from the other exit, on the left wall, there's an admission form and a QR code on there. If anybody wants to admit their child, one, it'll be on the group. Two, scan the QR code and you can admit your child. It'll be on a first-come, first-served basis. We are currently oversubscribed. Is the new year going to begin on the 11th of August? So apply at the nearest opportunity. Also on the group, I will send certain programs for the children that we'll be hosting in the holidays. On Tuesdays, inshallah, there'll be story hour for the young children, 5 to 8 boys and girls. Story hour for them to understand akhlaq, understand the religion, but through stories and events, understanding it through them. For the children, particularly during summer holidays, madrasa won't be on anyway, but we have certain opportunities for this. We request that all participate. Jazakallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للفلاح هيا للفلاح Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidi al-mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله عز وجل والتمسك بالسنة المطهرة إخواني وقلاني قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين يا معشر المسلمين لا تلهكم مفاتن الدنيا عن إصلاح أنفسكم وأولادكم وأهليكم. أخبر سبحانه وتعالى في ذلك بقوله يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. واعلموا عباد الله أن غالب القرآن يهدينا إلى هذه الحقيقة أن المال والأولاد زينة وتفاخر، فاعلموا أن هذه الأموال وهؤلاء الأولاد ليسوا بنفسهم أسبابا للتقرب إلى الله إلا من آمن وعمل صالحا، يعني من عمل صالحا في حقوق الأولاد في حقوق الأموال وفي تربية الأولاد، كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أما حقوق الأولاد عباد الله، يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. اللهم قنا عذابك يوم تجمع عبادك، اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله، من أطاعهما فقد رشد واهتدى ومن يعصهما فقد ضل وغوى. أما بعد، فيا معشر المسلمين، قال الله تبارك وتعالى مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته وعلماء أمته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأحياهم عثمان رضي الله عنهم، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه، وسيدة نساء أهل الجنة فاطمة رضي الله عنها، وسيد الشهداء حمزة رضي الله عنه. اللهم اغفر للعباس ولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم، رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأعظم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Kindly straighten the rows. Please ensure that the saf in front is filled before starting the new saf.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, hayya as-salah, hayya as-salah, hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah, qad qamat as-salat, qad qamat as-salat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah.
Kindly straighten the rows, stand shoulder to shoulder, and show your heels on the first line. Atimmu as-saff al-muqaddam thumma alladhi yalih, fama kana min naqsin falyakun fi as-saff al-mu'akhkhar. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله، ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين. و ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها والله خبير بما تعملون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Just a reminder that for those that want to admit your children to the madrasa, downstairs on both sides, there is a poster, on there is a QR code to apply. I will send the link on the group. And also a reminder that if you're not already on the group, please join the group for the youth programs that we'll have across for the summer holidays. They will be sent on the group, inshallah. Allahumma tassalam wa minkas salam tabarakti al-jali wa al-ikram. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بنعمتك علينا ونبوء بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين وعلى الشياطين وعلى الخبث والقبائث. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في ديننا ودنيانا. اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا. اللهم احفظنا من بين أيدينا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك أن نغتال من تحتنا. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات ونعوذ بك من المأثم والمغرم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رب.